down in Cincinnati at St. Gertrude's, in the priest's office area, we have this lovely little statue that you periodically will pass by. The child Jesus, sleeping, his head reclined on a rock. And underneath it says in Latin, but the translation is essentially this: I sleep, but my heart is always watching. And you might think of this in terms of today's Holy Gospel. It is a true historical scene, something that actually happened. We've seen this Gospel a few times already. Yet the lessons that we can draw from this simple scene in the Gospel never get old for those who are of good will and are seeking to serve the Almighty. Imagine the boat. It's not too big, nor is it too small, but it is on the sea and being cast about in this mighty tempest as if the boat were nothing more than a toy in the waves of the sea. And the waves threaten to engulf it and bring it to the bottom of the sea at any moment. The apostles on board frantically trying to do all they could to just stay alive, to not be flung off the boat and into the waves and drowned. But then you turn to another part of the boat, how different it is where our Lord is. The Gospel simply says he was asleep. When all of that, the other things were going on, our Lord sleeps. The disciples were desperately crying for help, but Jesus sleeps. And he sleeps on and seems not to be concerned with their danger, their plight. And yet such is not the case at all on that occasion. For as man, our Lord slept on that boat. But as God, he had no need of sleep. He knew perfectly well what the apostles, what danger they were in, what they were thinking, what their fears were, and he knew all the dangers to their life. The disciples had nothing but fear on that occasion. But Jesus was willing to, and actually did help them, but not right away. And it was for the greater benefit of their souls. And in the end, he worked a great miracle in order to help them. And so it is with us in life. The soul is troubled with temptations of all sorts. You know them. I don't have to list them. It's troubled with disordered passions. Then we have sufferings of all sorts, physical sufferings, emotional sufferings, spiritual dryness, and all the rest. And we pray. We pray desperately to our blessed Lord for some sort of relief, just for the help to overcome a temptation. And it seems as if God does not hear us, and that rather than coming closer to us, he is withdrawing, pulling himself back farther and farther from us. He sleeps. But that's not truly the case. Exactly at the time that he seems to be farthest from us, to be most distant, to not notice any of our problems, that is the time that he is watching most closely over us. That is the time when he is most compassionately helping us. You see, we see things in a series of succession, one thing after another, one event and then a second and third. But God, who is eternal and is outside of time, sees everything that has ever happened and everything that is happening or will ever happen in one single instant, one single glance. For him, he is seeing the civil war as going on at present, for example. Because he is not in time, he is in eternity. And so he is able to see everything in a single glance, all of its effects, all the good that will come from it. And he judges, therefore, whether it is best to hear our prayer right away or to delay it. He defers his help, or he assists us in a way which is different from that which we wanted. Doesn't matter, because we are humans. We are unable to comprehend the depths of his ways. But he is God, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful. And so we have nothing to do but to humble ourselves before that fact, that God can see it all, and we can't. And then this should only lead to the virtue of trust in Almighty God. So the question, though, is, why does God deal with us in these ways? I will enumerate a few of them today. The first reason why he seems to be sleeping when we call on him is so that he might strengthen our faith, our trust, our hope, our love, and to give us the opportunity to practice all of those virtues just mentioned. You all know by natural experience that you learn something by practicing. A child doesn't learn to play the piano unless he practices. A grown man does not learn his trade perfectly unless he practices. And St. Francis de Sales says that you only learn to love by loving. You just have to practice it. And you learn it better and better. So whenever God seems to sleep when we need him most, it is an opportunity for us to practice faith. So, for example, we call on God, and he seems not to hear us, but rather to ignore us. And we nevertheless force ourselves with sheer determination to keep believing that God hears every word that we say to him, that he knows our misery, the pain that it is causing us. And then we remind ourselves the great truths of our faith from sacred scripture, that not a hair of your head will fall to the ground without my Father's knowledge, that two sparrows are worth one pence. And yet, in the big scheme of all of creation, God knows if one of those sparrows should fall to the ground. There's a story of St. Thérèse that, toward the end of her life especially, she was going through such darkness. Physically, she had tuberculosis. It was getting worse and worse. She was not able to breathe. In fact, she was suffocating in her last years. She was suffocating. She could not breathe. She was spitting up blood. She was in awful and excruciating pain. On top of it, there were the temptations to commit suicide. Few people know that about her, but there was such pain that she said, if I did not have the faith, I would have committed suicide. And on top of it, there was the temptation to doubt that there was a heaven, that God would reward her. The temptation was this, that she would die, and then there would be nothing awaiting her. All was darkness. Yet do you know what she kept doing? She kept writing poems and prayers, saying that I believe, even though I don't feel, I believe. And she even wrote out her act of faith with her own blood. She kept believing, although she did not feel it. Or St. Francis de Sales, who, because of the Calvinists who taught that certain souls were predestined from all eternity by God to go to hell, that they were created simply to go to hell. That is a heresy, by the way. But it got St. Francis, he never believed in that heresy, but it caused him such temptations to despair. Yet, he never gave in to them. Rather, what he did was he turned to Our Lady. He knelt before Our Lady's image in one of the churches, said a memorare, and they say at that very instant, those temptations to despair were lifted. So you see that all of these ways that God treats us will give us the opportunity to practice virtue. Without virtue, supernatural virtue, we do not make it to heaven. Secondly, God does this to give us the opportunity to merit. We have to remember, as many of the spiritual authors say, if the angels could envy us for one thing, it would be that we have the time, the opportunity, to still merit. The angels now are in their place in heaven. They can go no higher. Some of us may have one more year, 20 more years, maybe 70 more years for some. And with every passing moment, we have the chance to raise our place in heaven, to be constantly growing in merit, in grace, and therefore ultimately to be increasing in glory. And so God sleeps when we suffer to give us the opportunity to merit even greater. Thirdly, he acts this way because we as fallen human beings want to seek a paradise of happiness here in this life without suffering, without pain, without anything that is uncomfortable. But remember that our Lord himself went before us, and we are meant to follow him. So God, in a way, forces our hand. He will not answer our prayers right away and lift our sufferings, take them away, because he is forcing us to follow the path of Christ, which ultimately leads to heaven. And this makes us seek our happiness, not here, but in heaven. And fourthly and finally, he sleeps. He delays. Because to give us a substitution for purgatory. God does not like to see us suffer. In fact, St. Therese said that he really hates to watch us suffer. And whenever he sends us some suffering, she painted the picture of this, that God will hand us the suffering, but at the same time he is looking the other way and shielding his eyes because he cannot see, cannot stand to see us suffer. But he gives us the suffering in order that there may be no more delay. Once we die, what's the point of purgatory? It's a delay in seeing God. Our purgatory time should be done here on earth, so that when our soul leaves our body, we fly straight to the beatific vision of God. That's it. And so, the more sufferings God sends us, the more he delays answering our prayers. Look at it this way, that it is a time of purgatory. He is purging your soul, and it is a certain sign, the more suffering you have, that God loves your soul more than someone to whom he gives less suffering. Because he looks at it this way, that he wants you in heaven. He doesn't want that unnecessary delay in purgatory, where you suffer, but you no longer merit. Here you can merit by your suffering, but not in purgatory. So to conclude, though, afflictions will come always, every single day. And we will cry out, and God will seem not to hear us. And if He does, He will answer our prayer in the way that we did not wish. But we must nevertheless, no matter how we feel about it, persevere in trusting and in suffering humbly and patiently as long as it should please God to have us suffer. Spiritual reading. Do you do it? Everyone here should, no matter how busy they are, do spiritual reading every day. Because unless you have that nourishment for your soul, you will not be able to recall principles like this in times of suffering. So if you suffer impatiently and with lack of resignation, it is perhaps because you are not feeding your soul by good books that help you to recall these things to mind. But in any case, persevere in trusting God and His wisdom. And know by faith that if you do this, you will stand very high in heaven. And there you will no longer need to offer up prayers of petition for yourself. Rather, you will offer the eternal prayer of praise and of thanksgiving for all that God has done for you, the prayer of love, which will never die. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.